The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8. Page 8 of your notes. Your new notes. All right, this applies to all of us equally. You are here to be quick to hear. You're here to be in sync with God the Holy Spirit and give the communication of this information your undivided attention. So here we are, and let's proceed forward. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the opportunity to consider the Scripture in front of us and recognizing that it is indeed a part of the mind of Christ. Bless our efforts in this section. In Christ's name, amen. All right, Solomon returns to the topic of oppression, of the masses, or of people within a particular society. We've already had this before, but it's in a different format here. And as the pattern of this chapter goes, he is dealing, as it starts off, in the second person singular. The second person singular is you. If you see oppression of the poor, if you see oppression, the word oppression is a noun, an if clause. It can mean extortion, oppression, oshek. The object of it, the cal participle of the verb to be poor, rish, R-I-S-H. And denial of justice. The word denial is gazelle, a noun which means robbery in some cases, theft. Denial is a good choice because of its association with the word justice. And denial of justice and justice and righteousness go hand in hand. Each has its own emphasis. Justice means fairness, dealing with people on an equal basis, on a fair basis. And righteousness means that there is a standard of conduct that is expected, but here is being denied. And denial of justice and righteousness in preposition with a definite article, the province, a specific area that is ruled by people and citizens live in it. Province, Medina. He says to the whoever you is, do not be shocked at the sight. Do not be amazed, negative A-L, tama, cal, imperfect, then a preposition, then a noun. Translate the sight, it's actually the word delight, kafetz. But here, at the spectacle, at the sight. Here to give some explanation, for an official, the word official is the adjective gaboa, which means high, exalted. And it's used here as a substantive and is correctly understood. For one official watches over another. Watches is the cal participle. Shamer means, it can mean to guard something. And so it's oversight that is in view here. That one official watches over another official, and there are higher officials over them. In other words, a bureaucracy, even within a small province. From the lowest officials on up the ladder to the highest tier, and eventually, in biblical times, a king. And then a weird verse. Not that we don't have any of those. Weird in terms of identifying what is in view here, whether it's a positive or a negative statement. But we'll just look at it. After all, we have the connective and it starts off an advantage. Yitron, we've seen it, means profit or advantage. The ground, earth, land, field, eretz. he, the king, the field is sadeh, so actually the word land comes out, it's out of order here in the Hebrew. The words, it's like they're flipped around. He cultivates, the verb cultivate is the nifl perfect of abab, means general word for work or to serve, but here in context, to cultivate something, the ground. One, the focus here shifts from what takes place in the temple, the place of worship, to things that take place in the province, any old province. The second person singular continues the brief in this brief example. If you see, if you observe. And this would then apply to anybody in time who might observe this particular phenomenon. This is the second example of the social oppression of the lower classes, the rank and file, humanity, going about their daily business. The first example was in chapter 4, but it dealt with the oppression of a kind of aristocracy over the peasants and how they operate. The use of the noun province points to governmental administration. The oppression of government officials within a province is a social ill that robs the poor, he says. See, they don't have the wherewithal to fight this. They're just busy surviving. And they're under the rules and regulations cranked out by the officials and the bureaucracy. Is the social ills that robs the poor of justice and righteousness. They don't have an equal footing. They don't have a real voice. The term oppression has the connotation to defraud and hence to do violence to somebody. And there is more than one kinds of violence. There's physical violence, as in some kind of a dictatorship thing. But we're talking, there's other types of violence that is perpetuated upon people by those who are supposed to protect and provide an environment for even the poor to not have additional burdens thrown upon them. If one happens, point seven, to observe the oppression of the poor, resulting in a denial of justice and righteousness, one should not be shocked, says the preacher, Solomon, the author of the book. You should not be shocked. The noun denial is cognate to the verb gazel, which means to tear off or take away by force or even to rob. So it's criminal activity. They're taking from people that which they should not be taking with them by putting upon them various kinds of restrictions and not giving them an opportunity for a redress of grievances. Now, this is true in a lot of places. through time and history. This type of activity. Therefore, this becomes a corrupt system. And God is not pleased with people who take advantage of poor people. He is not. We'll give you some verses, some observations on what the Bible has to say about the poor. Now, there's a type of poor person that got there because of their own actions. But there are other people, you have to understand, they're not there because they did anything wrong. You can say all you want to. There's a lot of reasons why people are in this situation. Our social welfare system is while it benefits people, it's also oppressive, and it also keeps people from becoming independent because of a lot of regulations, red tape, and many other things that exist. The reason one should not be shocked when confronted with a miscarriage of justice is presented as, for one official watches over another official, and there are higher officials over them. So what are we to make of that? The adjective translated officials from the verb to be high, gabah, means to be high, and the word high, along with the presentation of a tiered bureaucracy, further highlights a government setting. So that's pretty clear. That we're dealing with a legitimate government, but a government that is riffed from top to bottom with this institutionalized corruption, where everybody's watching out for everybody else, looking over their shoulder, and even if they see how draconian and bad a lot of these policies are, they're not going to say anything about it. That's what institutions are like. They're not going to criticize this, or they'll be looking for a job. So play along to get along mentality. So the situation envisaged here is that of government officials who are more interested about maintaining their own status than they are about serving the rights and the interests of the people. So it becomes endemic, it goes on and it goes on, unless there's something that happens, a real reformation or a revolution. People take to the streets like they're doing in Paris. The yellow vests. They've had it. Those that are supposed to protect them are not protecting them from the migrants who are raping people, committing crimes and bringing in disease. This is perpetuated from the top of that government. They're tired of the onerous taxation. This is spread to the Netherlands and Belgium. In Germany, there are biker gangs, and they're not these usual Hell's Angels types. They're clean cut, but they wear masks. The police will not protect their women from these rapists, these migrants. So when a government malfunctions totally, Merkel, she's one of those players in the high up in the thing, is that Macron is over in France. They're getting fed up in Italy. The European Union isn't working. It is a bureaucracy in Brussels that is so totally out of touch with the needs of the people, it isn't even funny. They just crank out all these tons of regulations and stuff. And eventually, people say, what the hell do we have to lose? We're not taking any more of that fill in the blank. And there's a backlash. When people are being squeezed so much. I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying it's what's happening. They're getting what they're getting what they deserve. And if you're happy and sassy and everything's okay, you owe those bad people. There's oppression all over the earth by governments and people. It's the nature of our times. It'd be rare if you didn't find it anywhere. And it takes different forms. And we as believers, we put our trust in God, cast our cares on Him, and follow certain proverbs as much as possible to avoid contact with this stuff. Stay away from it. By that I mean stay away from as much as possible when the wicked rule, the righteous hide. Low key. See, I've had people in this church that really don't believe this country's corrupt, as it is corrupt. They really don't. They couldn't. This stuff didn't happen by accident. It's top down. Yes, the people are to blame because they didn't, you know, quit watching their ball games and running to the malls and doing all this stuff. They didn't do anything to we the people. But still, it's wrong. And people think it's getting better. It isn't getting better. Who would have thought people would even entertain the idea that it's okay to just have an invasion of migrants? Bringing all their problems, getting on the social welfare system, bringing their crime, bringing whatever. So they always show on the deal some poor little child that's badly affected by it. And we're supposed to, oh, okay. No. You don't have a nation if you don't have borders. Hungary's put up a razor wire fence and machine guns. You aren't coming in here. This is a part of the elites attempting to dilute and pollute and break down cultural distinctions and ethnic division that exists legitimately, like say in Europe. There's a culture in Germany. There's a culture in Italy. There's a culture in France and so forth and so on. They don't like that. They want some big melting pot of stuff. So I wanted you to notice that. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. But he discusses nothing here about an uprising. Just that this looks at this scene as the people who suffer the worst are the poor. Governments are supposed to protect the weak, the defenseless. They're trying to generate whatever kind of policies they can to encourage them to be industrious and to do better for themselves. Not to put more burdens on them. So that's they're more concerned about maintaining their own system. See, this is what institutionalism is all about. Look over your shoulder, look down on the person, see everything. Nobody's going to be critical. Occasionally you have whistleblowers. That's kind of gone by the wayside. But there still are those out there. They have a lot to lose. Besides their jobs. If they try to expose this stuff, they have a conscience. And it's more important to them than getting their paycheck and their pension. But the rest are brainwashed. Oh, we're doing it for the best interest. Giving us song and dance. See, that's the whole idea of a Christian. We stand by those who are positive and righteous. We don't care where they went to school. We don't care what kind of car they drive up in. There's criminals that drive nice cars. Drug dealers and other types. We're taught we don't care what your background was. Remember Sonny said Jephthah? How would he survive in a lot of Christian environments? Your mother was a whore. And on and on. And God just raised him up. And made him a judge and is in the Hall of Fame. And look at his background. Family kicked him out. You're not one of us. Because you're born to that other woman. God forbid. You don't get this from Christianity. You don't get this from Bible doctrine. You don't get this from God. God is for people and has provided salvation for everybody, even those who are so distasteful. And in all classes and all levels. What's wrong with people? They can't even see that in the Bible? In the South, they had segregated churches. Well, if a person wants to go to a church, it's all white, all black, all whatever, then fine. But they did this sort of thing. And they get there all being all pious and everything. That form of racism. So self-interest takes precedent over justice. 13, injustice is endemic to most, if not all, bureaucracies. They just doesn't work. You say, well, don't you have to have this oversight? Yes, but I'm just saying that when it begins to go down that way, it gets worse. It doesn't get better. When did we ever have any real reforms? When did we really reform the tax system? The tax code. The onerous tax code that nobody can understand hardly. It's subject to all kinds of interpretations. Gillions of lawyers writing all this stuff. No matter what you do, they could probably peg you with something. Americans just roll over on it. Yeah. I'm not saying not pay your taxes. I didn't say that. I'm just saying these systems are what they are. The oversight watches of one official over another results in either seeking to please a superior at all costs or manipulating an underling. This works its way up the ladder to the king, who I think can set the tone. Who's he got in his cabinet? Who's he got immediately up there? What kind of a message does he send to these people? These are my people out there in the streets and in the rural areas. And I want them to have a safe and good life. And if you're the cause of it, your head's at stake. I ain't putting up with it. But there's these power mad people, there's these corrupt people. And away we go. Now in our civilization, the elite have such hooks in everything, it's not even funny. You do not recognize that? They can put on a face that they're out for the well-being of people, but in reality, they are not. Or we wouldn't be in so many ways like we are. All that brings us to verse 9 and the two diverse views as to its interpretation. Two opposite views. 17. One thing that is fairly clear is that the type of society envisaged here is agrarian. I mean, sure, there's towns, but it's all agrarian-based. What America used to be before the Industrial Revolution, as they call it. It was rural, agrarian-based society. Where crops are the mainstay of the economy versus industry and things like that. One view sees this verse as extolling the virtues of agriculture as the basis for national prosperity because even the king is dependent on the soil. 19. This view understands verse 9 as a corrective to the abuses of verse 8. 20. A translation supporting this is, the advantage for the people is that it extends to all, even the king is subject to the field. Now, I may be reading more in it than there, but that's one way it looks. Another reads, but an advantage to land for everyone is a king over cultivated land. Yet another that takes this verse in a positive way reads, and the profit of a land is taken by all officials. A king is for cultivated fields. The word all here in this verse refers to the officials in verse 8. So if you look at this, verse 9, in that sense, and the after all, that's not, that I know isn't good. The word all refers to the officials. The New American Standard, after all, is to be rejected. The negative view, one advocated here, the one I opted for, holds the king accountable for misrule as he is also served by the cultivated fields. He's the ultimate beneficiary. Well, he should be the ultimate beneficiary, but not at the expense of the poor and the oppression of the poor. He should not that way. I translate. So, an advantage is the land for all. Even a king who is served by the field. If felt perfect, I'll add to work. This negative view is in sync with the way political power has been presented thus far by Koholet. That's the word preacher. I just thought you. Now put it in more often. That's what he calls himself. Okay. Let's deal with some divine viewpoint from the book of Proverbs with regard to the poor. Most of you here probably are not in that category. Somewhere in the middle class realm. Middle class is a very important class too, by the way. Destroy the middle class, like communism advocated, destroy it. And then everybody, the elite, rules over all these people during the communist regime. Verses dealing with the poor in the book of Proverbs, 10:4. Now, this is the negative poor. This is the poor that they deserve what they get. So we'll have a mixed bag here. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. 13:7-8. There is one who pretends to... I thought this is a funny one. You see this in the world. There is one who pretends to be rich, but has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, but has great wealth. It's just an observation. Observations on humans. 12:23. Abundant food is on the fallow ground of the poor, but is swept away by injustice. This fits in with what we're looking at here in our two verses. God provided for the poor in Israel in this way. When a field was harvested, the farmer was supposed to leave behind some of it as a charity. Not just strip everything out of it, but to leave stuff behind so the poor could come in and take it. That's in the law of Moses. It's enlightened. It wasn't take money from the farmer and give it to the poor. It was have this out there and available to them. I don't see, I do not see how people do not have compassion over people. But I've seen a lot of it, and I've seen it up close. Lack of compassion. Wow. Verse 20. The poor man is hated even by his neighbor. But those who love the rich are many. They're fawning all over themselves. They don't say, well, he's poor, therefore he must be something wrong with him. See? Of course, you don't suffer from that, right? You look at fellow believers, royal family. Well, how would you like to go somewhere in the world where there's Christians and they're real poor? And they're suffering under a corrupt regime like is in China. And they're Christians. Or in Africa. In villages and such. They need the gospel. They need the truth. And The one I really want to drive home is this one. Do not engage yourself ever in this activity. You might see a poor person, but you don't know the circumstances necessarily, unless you have some inside information. I'm not talking about people that might be on the corner asking for money who are fakes and get $300 or $400 at Christmas time and drive off in a Cadillac. I'm not talking about those con men. I'm talking about legitimately poor people. It's a shame in this country how this country treats its war vets. It's pathetic. All the military rah, 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 ball games and everything, and the way they treat these guys, it's unconscionable. But see, they were just used. Cast aside. A lot of this injustice, a lot of this corruption. Here's the verse that, you know, be sure you never fall into this. He who mocks the poor taunts his maker. It's a higher thing than just putting down someone and saying something. You taunt God when you mock the poor. They were created in the image of God. Hey, Jesus was poor. Not poor like scrounging, but he was poor. By any economic standards, you know, he was poor. Well, that was his niche. It wasn't because, it was because that was his niche. He functioned in that realm all the days of his life. In his public ministry, he had no regular place like you and I do when we get out of here to go home and lay our head down on in a nice warm house. He didn't have that. He wasn't complaining about it. He didn't take this on himself to be ascetic. It was his circumstances that came to him. And it's through him we become unbelievably, phenomenally rich for all eternity. A poor man. You think of those terms. He was rich in the things that count, but he did not have these things. He was dependent on, during his public ministry, he was dependent on whatever offerings were given to the treasurer to go buy, you know, food or whatever. He suffered hunger. You know, all these things he suffered. He who rejoices at calamity will not go unpunished. So be cautious on these things. Do not revel in these kind of catastrophes. Step back and use good judgment and refrain from these things. Okay? We're told not even to celebrate when the wicked are taken down. We're to be reserved. '18:23. The poor man offers supplications, presumably to God. He offers supplications. He's up against a wall. He may not know where his next meal and job is coming from. He offers up supplications. But the rich man answers roughly. He's arrogant. He doesn't feel any need to call on God for anything. That's that point. 19:1. Better is a poor man. I like this one very well too. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Well, that applies to a bunch of people. Perverse in speech and is a fool in terms of God and his plan. 19:22. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. Kindness. Can you come up with that in dealing with other believers? Other people? Just be basically kind? Humans can be kind. You're rough with someone. You've got this thing about them. And they may be a fellow brother in Maranatha Church. What's wrong with you? Well, I labored in vain up here? Being kind. Yeah, but they did so and so or whatever. Forget it. That's no excuse. You can't find any verses to support that. And it's better to be a poor man than a liar. And man, there's a lot of liars afoot. 22:2. The rich and the poor have a common bond. They got something in common. You have something in common with the poor man and with the richest man on earth. The Lord is the maker of them all. Eight. Better is the poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. A lot of people are wealthy because they were shady and crooked and corrupt. A lot of them. They didn't earn it honorably. They may be have bought honorable business enterprise, but they didn't earn it honorably. I'm going to think of people who rose to the top through criminal activity and then went into legitimate business. Here's one. It's a key to success in life. He who gives to the poor will never want to help someone out. I've had people pull up here in the past, ring the doorbell, man and a woman with some grubby little kids. I mean grubby because they weren't clean. Wine some food. Well, my heart goes out to them. I can't slam the door on them. I don't know how they got there. It's just that they were there. So, you know, I dig in my wallet. One day I had a pizza. I gave it to the kids. I never order a pizza at church. I did once. And some poor kids ate it. I'm just telling you. We are given opportunities to do things. Always be ready to help somebody instead of kicking them when they're down. Well, if you'd have done, if you'd have done. That's the arrogant. That's those type people. Do not do that. And as I said over and over again, some of you could be a great comfort to a certain believer, but you just walk by them with your head in the air. You don't have a kind word, if it applies to you, that is. Yeah, but they did so and so. Oh, well, I've done so and so. You going to be mean to me? Every day is a new day. Every day is another opportunity. You better take this seriously. You do not show mercy, you won't get mercy. You do not abuse a member of the royal family. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to, but a simple, sincere, hey, how are you doing? Good to see you. Hang in there. Some word of encouragement. Least you can do. I didn't teach this. This is basics. This is basics for believers. People will fall all over themselves to help somebody who isn't even positive. I mean, they will go to all kinds of ends. There's members of the royal family that they don't need your money. And they will survive even if they don't get your kindness and the basic Christian virtues that are the part of the fruit of the filling of the Holy Spirit. But if you hold this in you, this malice, this judgmental attitude, who are you? God, when you compare yourself to God, then ought to humble us all. I try to be an encouragement to people. I want to be on the right side of these verses. I want to know that when I'm in need, that there's dividends to be paid there to me from God because I did what I was supposed to do. And many of you do it in a wonderful way. Just God, keep me alert to this and do the right thing. Some of you have even helped people in this church that treated you nasty while you were helping them. I've heard stories. Well, they were on their way out, but this person took them food anyway because somebody was sick. And they weren't treated right by that person. Pathetic. But they did what they did. It's divine good anyway. That's what I'm going to do. Oh, just help those that are going to appreciate it. Help those you can help. So this is that time of year. Be good, la, 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 la. All over. Well, we can do it all year long. Not to wait for some special mushy holiday. with all this phoniness. So, he who gives to the poor will never want, but he who shuts his eyes will have many curses. So, there's many ways God can jam a person for their failure to come to the aid and help of those who are in need. Well, then we have the same verse that we had earlier. The poor and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. What does that mean? That means if they want to know truth, I don't care if they're a bad dude and an oppressor, God will give light to them if they want light. He doesn't say, well, you're this. Of course, He is not class conscious. He is not. He doesn't see any of it like he's, oh, look at them, look what they got, or what they don't got, they don't have. He doesn't look at that. He looks past all of that. What they need salvation. They need to hear the gospel. All right. Well, this is a big, long section. Unfulfilled expectations of wealth. So we're going to learn some, not necessarily things you've never, but the way he observes, and we will study in this, two kinds of rich men who got it in different ways. Let's put it this way. Who went about it differently. And the first, of course, is the negative example. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. He who is a lover of money, that is his love. That is what he wants. He wants to accumulate. That's what he's all about. And we're going to study the ill effects of that and why the expectations that will bring contentment and happiness and peace are never there. Never. Because all the problems that ensue as a result of that mindset. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.